that Jesus died for us. We love him because he first loved us. And even though we try to look for love in all the wrong places, we know that Jesus' love is never changing. It's sacrificial. He gave it all up for us. And that's love. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to the angel of his house in his absence, Pastor Warner, to our fearless assistant pastor, Reverend Dr. McKesson Holt, my rocking partner in ministry, Minister Tyree Newman, my children, my mom, my aunt, who always comes to support, thank you, and to anybody who is somebody, and that should be everybody. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Brother Rob, I was just about to give you my notes here because you was preaching this morning. So I said, you might as well go on ahead and let the doors of the church open after you finish. But I thank you for your gifts, your ministry, your dedication. To the children who have served and sang the praises of Zion this morning, we thank you. I'm so excited when I see children and I hear children because that just gives and shows that there's life in the church. So we need to continue to encourage at all times, and as we see, you know, kids along the way, encourage them along so that they may be brought up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. As we are nearing the end of the preaching series of spiritual disciplines, I pray that you've gathered some valuable nuggets in the areas of praying, tithing, fasting, service, studying the Word of God, and that God has convicted you to challenge yourself in a new way in each one of these areas. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Jonah, the first chapter, and I will reread to refresh your memory as to what was read earlier on in the service. And it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness had come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble have come upon us.' So they cast lots, and their lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for those cause, whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with the innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. For those of you taking notes today, I will be preaching from the subject, man-made storms. Man-made storms. Let us pray. Father God, it is in the name of Jesus that I come to you today, giving you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Oh God, please give me the wisdom, the knowledge, all of the words that you have given, and have that be poured out of me with your power, with your conviction, with your spirit, so that those who are in earshot of my voice will hear the words that are from you. God, I ask right now that anything that is not of you, to remove it right now in the name of Jesus, so that the words of my mouth can be received with love, with conviction, with a action to do what it is that you would have those to do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. I think we would all agree that 2017 has had its share of natural disasters. Globally, we've had our share of typhoons, earthquakes, mudslides, tsunamis, hurricanes, tropical storms, you name it. And to kind of hone in the country, just to give you a few of the storms that have happened and the natural disasters that have happened around the world, the country of Zimbabwe suffered a cyclone that left thousands displaced. Sierra Leone, China, and Peru were hit by severe floods that left hundreds dead in each country. Sierra Leone alone had up of 600 people. There was an avalanche caused by heavy snowfall that killed more than 150 people in Afghanistan and Pakistan. There were landslides that killed hundreds of people in the Republic of Congo and Colombia. A monsoon in Sri Lanka claimed the lives of over 200 people. An earthquake killed over 225 people in Mexico. The death toll count is still rising for the Puerto Rican residents who are still without power and won't regain full power until January 2018 as a result of the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. The residents of the U.S. Virgin Islands are still putting the pieces together after Hurricane Irma. And the Texan residents in Houston and the surrounding areas, although not being reported, still are displaced and trying to regain a sense of what is now their new normal in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Harvey. These are storms that happen as a result of natural patterns that happen within the earth. Some come without warning, and thanks to advanced technology, most of them do. But because we serve a God that created the heavens and the earth, we tend to look to our Creator for answers in situations like this. Why so much disaster? Why so many casualties? Why do they have to suffer? Even those who have a little more than another's measure of faith have to step back to say, God, I know you are in control, but did it have to turn out that way? The same goes for the storms that come in our lives, otherwise known as trials. Some of them come out of the blue and knock us to the ground, and we have those, really, God, conversations. But in the end, we find that those trials had come to stretch our faith, make us stronger, or increase us in areas in our lives where God saw fit that we needed a fine-tuning. And because we have a hope, some come to the realization faster than others. And we usually go to our unscriptural verse, "He will not give us more than what we can handle." But there are those storms, inconvenient as they may be, that turn our worlds upside down, our lives inside out, rattle us to our core, change the courses of our lives, that we simply design and craft up ourselves. I want to show a little visual. I took a little page out of the Holt Newman book of visuals here. And if I could have my two helpers that I talked to earlier this morning to come up to help me. Miss Soraya and Miss Amelie. I come to have a little demonstration. Now, have you girls ever made homemade tornadoes?
No.
Well, guess what? You gonna make one today. And when you go to school, if you happen to need a science experiment, got a bonus. It's real easy. So I'm gonna start it off. I'm just going to pour this in so that we could make sure that we don't get water all over the place. And I'm already getting water all over the place. Okay. So Amelie, I'm gonna ask you to put just a little dab of dish detergent in there. You can squeeze a little bit in there. Just a little bit. All right. Good job. And Soraya, I'm going to ask for you to put in some glitter. You know how to put in some glitter? Just put in little dabs. All right, I think that's good. Okay, and you put in the other color. Like this one, the top is off, so you got to be a little light handy with that. All right, good job. Now, I'm going to need someone, because I'm going to put this top on real tight. And I'm going to need somebody to do the Cabbage Patch real hard. You know how to do the Cabbage Patch? You don't know how to do the Cabbage Patch? You don't know how to do the Cabbage Patch? Okay. I need you to shake it in a circle real hard. Real hard. Okay, you're doing the wash machine. Yeah, like this. Now, what is it that you see?
Glitter.
Tornado. You see a tornado, right? Wow. Those are man-made storms. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, ladies. Just as easy as that. Well, I didn't bless somebody again for a school work project. So parents, you know, if you need something real quick, that's something easy to do. But these are called man-made storms. The storms that are created as a result of us not being submitted to the will of God. I know it sounds crazy, but each and every one of us have been guilty of being author of such mystical disasters at one point in time in our lives. And how it looks real pretty inside the jar doesn't look so pretty when it's in our lives. That's why the autobiographical sketch of Jonah is a true testimony of a prophet, one called by God to speak on behalf of God. Can give us a few lessons learned on our first and foremost duty as Christians in submitting ourselves to God. It is an illustrative example of when we choose to step out of God's will, we are choosing to create a man-made disaster. The discipline of submission means having the willingness to voluntarily submit to Christ and to others in authority. In 1 John 2:3-6, it reads, here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. And while the Bible gives us plenty of other references on how we should exercise our discipline in submitting to one another, parents and children, husband and wives, government authorities, etc., etc., I want to focus on our submission to God, as I believe that if we understand our foundational duty in serving and submitting to Christ, our relationship with others will fall right in line. Let me give you a little background on the prophet Jonah. As his story begins in 2 Kings chapter 14, Jonah was a prophet that served under a king named Jeroboam II. He was a king that inherited some bad behaviors from the previous king, but at the same time, Israel was suffering because all of the bad leadership that had been going on and the bad behaviors of the people. But God has shown mercy, and through Jonah, God gave a message to the king that Israel would regain some of their land back in spite of their disobedience. This was a message of hope because God had saw their despair, and Jonah was sent to encourage them and to assure them of better days. So his first ministry was to his own people, bearing good news with the hope of Israel gaining strength and becoming a more fortified nation. And now in Jonah chapter 1, we are reintroduced to Jonah, who has clearly been given another assignment. As it states in verse 2, God told him to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. It was a pagan city, meaning that they worshiped many gods, amongst other things. So they clearly were not like his people, the Israelites, and their sins were great. So not only did God call him to prophesy to a nation who were not his people, the chosen people of Israel, the Assyrian people was also an enemy of Israel, looking to conquer and overtake them at any time. Even though they were pagan and they were Gentiles, God's compassion would not allow for the people of Nineveh to continue in the wretchedness they had been living in. So he wanted to send a messenger with hope so that they would repent. But of course, Jonah had other plans. And we don't even get down into chapter 1 real good before we find out he was not feeling God's instructions, because he had given God the deuces and proceeded to head 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. And keeping in mind, and in his mind, he was also getting away from the presence of the Lord. At that point, Jonah made a conscious decision to disobey and put his will above God's. And one thing that you need to know about man-made storms is that it starts with a choice. Just as easy as we put together this bottle tornado is just as easy as allow to one of those to be created in our own lives. God has given each and every one of us volition, and that is the freedom to choose whether we want to obey God or not. I know it sounds simple, but it is a discipline that must be practiced. To be in a mindset that continues to go against God, let alone authority, is a sure enough way to creating unnecessary storms in your life. That's why we have the word. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have Bible study. The tools to renew our minds every day so that we can consciously put on the mind of Christ, who knew no sin. If this is something that was easy, I wouldn't have even mentioned it as one of my points. It sounds simple, but it takes work. Some have harder time than others, but nevertheless, Everyone has had a struggle with this issue and will continue to have a struggle. But because we have a hope and faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who bore our sins in his body and who understands all the temptation that we go through, he will not give us temptation beyond what we can bear, and he will give us a way out. But we have to make a choice. We can't choose to not tithe and then go spend our money frivolously elsewhere and expect God to bless our finances. We can't choose not to read our scripture and then not expect for the enemy to have his way in our lives because we're not grounded in the word. We can't choose to serve others and expect God to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," when it's all said and done. We can't expect God's peace that surpasses all understanding when we choose to raise hell everywhere we go. That ain't the work of the Lord. Although not always easy, making the choice to submit to God will allow you to see that he has already equipped you for what he has called for you to do. Make the right choice. So now we're seeing the consequences of Jonah's choice. No sooner than it seemed that they set sail, God sends a tempest, a raging wind, a storm that threatened to break up the boat that caused his fellow shipmates to call on every god they could think of to help them calm the storm. But where's Jonah? Sleep. We see here that Jonah not only made a conscious decision to go in the opposite direction of where God told him to go, but when God brought the storm, he went to sleep. Not only was he asleep, he was in a deep sleep. And in my study, the same word used for the sleep that was described for Adam when he took the rib out of Adam, when God took the rib out of Adam to make Eve, was the same word that was described as Jonah's sleep. That was a deep sleep. Not only was he in a deep sleep, he was at the most bottom part of the boat. And I don't know about y'all who cruise, but the higher you are on a boat, the more that you feel the waves and the boat starts to rocking. But the lower that you get on the boat, the less rocking you feel. So if you're seasick, it's always good to get a lower deck so that you don't feel the motion of the boat. The motion of the boat, and given that he was down at the bottom, gave him an opportunity to ignore what was going on. Jonah was in the stove, all the way down at the bottom where the storage and the luggage, where there was less disturbance, less motion, so that he can possibly ignore it all. Have you ever had something in so bad that you just wanted to go to sleep? Hoping that when you woke up, it would just go away, only to find that it's in your face waiting for you when you got back up. Somebody say, stay woke. In our submission, we have to always stay alert to what God is saying to us. My dear sister, Sheila Cook, bless my soul, doing one of the Oaks worship service, and she said, don't fall asleep on God's assignment for you. And Sister Sheila, I just want to let you know I got two more times to say that to give you credit, and then it's mine. And that's what we tend to do. We choose to go our own way to find that we are not equipped for the journey. Then we start to get tired because we're functioning in our own strength. That's when our flesh begins to fail, our faith begins to dwindle, because we allow for people, problems, and plans to distract us and get us into a stupor and state of hopelessness that we can't get out of because we fail to stay alive in Christ. We fail to watch and pray. We fail to be energized by the promises of God that God himself even said in his word would not return void. We got to stay woke. And within that same verse and moving further along in the scripture, we see that there were some individuals on the boat, people who may have been planning vacations, people who may have been on a routine business trip, or people that may have been on a normal commute. This day was just an ordinary day for these folks, except for Jonah, or so they thought. Given their panic and distress and having to cast lots as to who was causing the storm, we could surmise that this was not an ordinary occurrence. When we create man-made storms by stepping outside the will of God, we need to know that other people are affected too. It's not only your mess, but those who may be near and theirs, those who may not even know that are affected, are affected. We know that God laid the foundation of this earth. He strategically placed the stars and the constellations, the sun, the moon, the planets. He separated the waters from the atmosphere. He designed every system in place to grow trees, plants, body systems, so that we can function. He needed us in our mother's womb and individually gave us a plan for each and every one of our lives. God has a system and an order. And when we decide to work against it, that creates disorder and confusion. And it already said in his word that God is not the author of it. So when we decide to step outside to make the conscious decision to go in the opposite direction that God originally called us to go, dull in our senses and ignore and fall asleep on his warnings or his promises, know that the storm that is being created not only affects you, but everyone else around you. In the text, it's almost embarrassing to see the pagans call on their gods, and they have to press Jonah to pray to the Father, who he himself was the maker of the dry land and the sea, for the mess that he put them all in the first place. Jonah fessed up and said, "My bad. This storm was caused by me. Just toss me over in the sea and this will all be over." There ended up being a blessing in the storm because the pagans witnessed the mighty hand of God and was persuaded to pray for forgiveness for throwing Jonah into the water. Don't think God won't take the glory and won't get the glory out of our mess. If we won't praise him, then he will raise somebody else up to do it. Putting ourselves aside, perfecting submission is doing the will of God for the benefit of others. Man-made storms. They're created when we step outside the will of God, when we choose to go in the opposite direction of where God calls us to go, when we start to deaden our senses to the word of God and to the promises that he has for us, and all the while other people are affected around us, all because we refuse to go to our Nineveh. All of us have a Nineveh in our life. And that Nineveh is a place where we refuse to give up and submit to God. When he calls us to go there, we refuse to go. When he calls us to do things, we refuse to do it. And each and every one of us has that Nineveh somewhere in our life. I pray and challenge you that as you listen to this message, to search and find where the Nineveh is in your life so that you can give it over to God. Because if you read more in the scripture, you will see God's mercy and compassion. Despite all the mess that Jonah created, God was merciful enough to swallow him up in a fish, spit him back out to where he started so he can start that journey again. And that's how he gives us and does with us today, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we mess up, we got that opportunity and we have that relationship with Jesus Christ to help us to get back to where we need to be. If we can stand to our feet today and understand that without Jesus the Christ, we will continuously be standing in our man-made storms. Without Jesus the Christ, we will continuously be destroyed and messed up because we have no hope. But Jesus Christ gave us that hope. He bore all of our sins on that gory and that bloody cross. He took it all just for us. For the sins that we committed, for the sins that we don't even know that we haven't committed yet. But if we're looking, and if you're looking for a Savior to calm your storms, I ask you to come and accept the Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, today. Is there one?